Hare Krishna. So we'll continue our discussion. So this morning we saw that Kapiladev started discussing about the life of a person who lives a sinful life and what happens during his life, living a sinful life, and then how after passing away how he experiences hellish suffering. This is the subject matter we discussed this morning. So now in this chapter he is going to discuss how after going through all that hellish suffering, the next time when that living entity gets another opportunity to enter into a human body, you know, how, what is it that he experiences? That's what we are going to see now. So, very instructive chapter. So we'll see. This chapter is titled Lord Kapila's Instructions on the Movements of the Living Entities. So Srila Vishnu Jagadagur writes that in the 31st chapter, the pains in the womb at birth as an infant and as a child, as well as bhakti of the jiva as it speaks while in the womb, are explained. You know, there are also prayers offered by the living entity within the womb that also we'll be seeing. So let's start. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Dehopapattaye Striyaha Pravishta Udaram Pumso Retakkana Shrayaha. Jantuhu Deha Upapattaye. The jiva which is about to receive a human body, Karmana, according to the law of karma, Daivanetrena, which happens under the supervision of the Lord, not under the direct supervision of the Lord, but under the systems created by the Supreme Lord. So the Lord does not personally supervise the transmigration of every single living entity. Not that he is not capable of doing that, but he outsources it to his energies. He doesn't personally do it. Pumsaha retaha kanashraya. So this living entity takes shelter of a particle of semen from a man, striyaha udaram pravishtaha, and enters into the womb of a woman. So this indicates that after the living entity, after living a sinful life, he goes to hell, suffers hellish suffering there, then goes through various other subhuman species, and finally he again gets an opportunity to enter into the human life, which means, you know, the cycle is complete now. So Kapiladev is completing the cycle here. You know, he hasn't described all the other species that he goes into, but again he directly brings it back to you know, entering into a human life here. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, as stated in the last chapter, after suffering different kinds of hellish conditions, a man comes again to the human form of body. The same topic is continued in this chapter. In order to give a particular type of human form to a person who has already suffered hellish life, the soul is transferred to the semen of a man who is just suitable to become his father. During sexual intercourse, the soul is transferred through the semen of the father into the mother's womb in order to produce a particular type of body. This process is applicable to all embodied living entities, but it is especially mentioned for the man who was transferred to the Andhatamishra hell. After suffering there, when he who has had many types of hellish bodies, like those of dogs and hogs, is to come again to the human form. So after going through all the evolutionary cycle, he again comes to the human form of life. He is given the chance to take his birth in the same type of body from which he degraded himself to hell. Later Prabhupada says, here one word, retaha kanashrayaha, is very significant because it indicates that it is not the semen of the man that creates life within the womb of a woman, rather the living entity, the soul, takes shelter in a particle of semen and is then pushed into the womb of a woman. The word uses pumsaha reta kana ashrayaha. The living entity takes shelter of one particle of semen and then it's used for impregnating the woman. So it's not that the semen itself has any life producing capacity. A living force has to take shelter of that particle of semen. Only then, you know, it can lead to impregnation. So therefore, we need not be surprised that, you know, people are, modern science is coming up with so many things, you know, in vitro fertilization and what else do you call? Test tube babies and all that, cloning. So whether you know, you create a body through whether the material energy creates the body or you circumvent that process and you create a body, unless a soul takes shelter of that body, you know, it is not possible. Just because someone creates the body doesn't mean that it will come to life. So the Lord can you know, ensure that a living entity takes shelter of, you know, a clone that you have created also. But ultimately that living force has to enter that body, only then it's possible to come to life.
Last time in Garuda Purana also Prabhupada was mentioning, there are various descriptions given about how soul takes the shelter of semen. So is it that it is like rains and grains and then it will enter, or it directly can also go into the, during the time of conception, it can also directly enter the situation, or it has to go through this all big procedure only?
Yeah, that rains and grains, that description is there. Bhagavad Gita also, Srila Baladeva Vidya Bhushan in one of his commentaries, he mentions it. But it is for a jiva who is returning back from heaven. That's my understanding. But otherwise, you know, a living entity who transmigrates, not that every living entity after his human birth goes to hell and comes back, or goes to heaven and comes back. You know, there is, you know, transmigration from, you know, one body to another body within the bhuloka also. So I don't think every living entity, you know, comes through rain and enters the grain, and then through grain enters the living entity, becomes semen, enters the semen, and so on. That's my understanding. So later Prabhupada says that then the body develops. There is no possibility of creating a living entity without the presence of the soul simply by sexual intercourse. The materialistic theory that there is no soul and that a child is born simply by material combination of sperm and ovum is not very feasible. It is unacceptable. Then, further description of what happens, how the body of the soul develops within the womb is described very systematically. Kalalam tu eka ratrena pancha ratrena budbudam dashahena tu karkandu peshyandam vatataparam. Kalalam tu eka ratrena, on the first night the semen mixes with blood. Pancha ratrena budbudam, By the fifth night, it forms a bubble shape. Dasha ahenatu karkandu. After 10 days, it becomes the size of a hard badari fruit. So badari fruit means, you know, anyone has seen a badari fruit? How big is it? Like the size of a rudraksha. Okay. And tataha param peshi. And then the ball of flesh in the case of womb bond. Because there are many kinds of birth, you know, andaja, svedaja, udbija and jarayuja, right? Four kinds of. Jarayuja is that which is born through embryo, womb, and andaja is that which is born through eggs. Udbija is that which is born from a seed like the plants, and svedaja, some of the insects are born through sweat, like the bed bugs, like that. So he says that in the case of jarayuja, it takes the form of a ball of flesh. In the case of an andaja, it may take the form of an egg or something like that. Andamva, or in the case of birds, it takes the form of an egg. So till then, it's the process of conceiving is the same for whether it is jarayuja or for andaja. The process of conception is same. You know, on the first night the semen mixes with blood, fifth night it takes the shape of bubble, 10th day it becomes the size of badari fruit, and after that a jarayuja becomes a ball of flesh, whereas an andaja takes the form of an egg. That's how it is described here. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the body of the soul develops in four different ways according to its different sources. One kind of body, that of the trees and plants, sprouts from the earth. This is Udbija. The second kind of body grows from perspiration, as with flies, germs and bugs. This is Svedaja. Okay. And the fourth develops from an embryo. I missed something. Jarayuja. The third kind of body develops from eggs. This is andaja. And the fourth develops from an embryo. This verse indicates that after emulsification of the ovum and sperm, the body gradually develops either into a lump of flesh or into an egg, as the case may be, depending on whether it is jarayuja or andaja. Masena tu shirodvabhyam bahvangryadyanga vigraha nakalomasti charmani linga chidrodbavastribihi. Dvabhyam masena, after 2 months, shiro bahu angri adi anga vigraha. After 2 months, the embryo develops head, arms, legs, and other limbs. Tribihi, by 3 months, naka, nails, loma, body hair, asti, bones, charmani, skin, and linga chidra, the genital and other sense apertures are developed by the 3rd month. And chaturbir dhatavasapta pancha bhikshutrudbhavah shadbir jarayunavita kukshau bhramyati dakshini. By the 4th month, the 7 dhatus appear, are formed. Panchabik shutrid udbhavah. By the 5th month, the embryo develops the sensations of thirst and hunger. Shadbir jarayunavitah. And by the 6th month, a skin forms around the embryo. Kukshau Brahmyati Dakshine, and it moves to the right side of the womb. So here it is mentioned. The right side is mentioned because the object being dealt with is a male. So according to Vedic embryology, a male fetus moves to the right and the female fetus moves to the left. So this is the explanation. That is, that happens by the sixth month. So you don't need to have any modern ways of sex determination. So by the sixth month only, according to Vedic embryology, you can know whether, depending on whether the child moves to the right hand side of the womb or the left hand side of the womb, one can determine whether it is a male or female. But of course, in Kali Yuga, you know, everything is hodgepodge. You never you know, you can always expect some surprise. But so let's continue. Matur jagdanna panadyair edad dhatur asammate shete vinmutra yorgarte sajantur jantu sambhave. Edad dhatuhu. So the dhatus of this child is nourished by matuhu jagda anna panadyaihi. Whatever the mother eats and drinks, that nourishes the seven dhatus of the embryo within her womb. Saha jantuhu shete. And this embryo sleeps asammate garte, in an unsuitable hole. Vin mutrayoho. That same hole from which stool and urine passes, the living entity also stays there only. Jantu sambhave, where the birth takes place. So here Srila Prabhupada writes, in the Markandeya Puran, it is said that in the intestine of the mother, the umbilical cord, which is known as Apyayani, joins the mother to the abdomen of the child, and through this passage the child within the womb absorbs the mother's assimilated foodstuff, whatever she eats, a part of it that she assimilates, and that assimilated foodstuff is through the umbilical cord, it is fed to the child. In this way, the child is fed by the mother's intestine within the womb and grows from day to day. The statement of the Markandeya Puran about the child's situation within the womb is exactly corroborated by modern medical science, and thus the authority of the Puranas cannot be disproved, as is sometimes attempted by the Mayavadi philosophers. You know, because the language of the Puranas is very straightforward. So, using the Smriti Shastras to establish any impersonalistic conclusions is very difficult. Therefore, because Shankaracharya got to first, write commentaries on all these things, he never touched the Smritis except for Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita is still written in an Upanishadic language. So there is still some scope for twisting the words and, generating one's own meaning. Upanishads are very, very hi-fi language. So it's quite easy to generate, it's not very straightforward in language. It's quite paroksha. So there is always scope for generating one's own meaning. And in that too, Shankaracharya chose few Upanishads. Some 10 Upanishads which he branded as the prominent Upanishads. And established his philosophy based on that. So because he started this whole thing, eventually with the other Vaishnavacharyas like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya and everyone else, they had to resort to the same Upanishads to establish their philosophy. So, like ముండక ఉపనిషత్, మాండోక్య ఉపనిషత్, శ్వేతాశ్వతర ఉపనిషత్, తైత్తరీయ ఉపనిషత్ అండ్ సో ఆన్. సో సమ్ బేసికలీ సమ్ ఈశోపనిషత్. సో 10 ఉపనిషత్స్ హీ కమెంటెడ్ ఆన్ అండ్ దట్ బికేమ్ లైక్ ది స్టాండర్డ్. సో ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ యువర్ ఫిలాసఫీ, యూ హ్యాడ్ టు రిసార్ట్ టు ఓన్లీ దీస్ ఉపనిషత్స్. ది అదర్ ఉపనిషత్స్ దే డోంట్ హ్యావ్ అ స్టాండింగ్. స్మృతి శాస్త్రాస్ నో, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ హెస్ బీన్ రిలిగేటెడ్. సో నాట్ ఓన్లీ డిడ్ ది వైష్ణవాచార్యస్ హ్యాడ్ టు ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ దర్ ఫిలాసఫీ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ దీస్ ఉపనిషత్స్, బట్ ఆల్సో దే హ్యాడ్ టు లేటర్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ హౌ ది పురాణాస్ అండ్ ది ఆర్ ద స్మృతి శాస్త్రాస్ ఆర్ ఇన్ ద సేమ్ పెడెస్టల్ యాజ్ ది శృతి శాస్త్రాస్. బికాస్ ఫర్ పర్సనల్ రిలిష్మెంట్ ఇన్ ఎనీ వైష్ణవ సంప్రదాయ, ఫర్ పర్సనలీ రిలీషింగ్ దేర్ సిద్ధాంత, దే డోంట్ రిసార్ట్ టు ఎనీ ఉపనిషత్స్. దే రిసార్ట్ టు విష్ణు పురాణ్, మహాభారత్, భాగవతం అండ్ సో ఆన్. బికాస్ స్మృతి శాస్త్రాస్ ఆర్ మోర్ రిలీషబుల్, దే ఆర్ ఇన్ డైరెక్ట్ లాంగ్వేజ్. బట్ బికాస్ శంకరాచార్య హ్యాడ్ రిలిగేటెడ్ దెమ్, బికాస్ యూ కెనాట్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ ది ఇంపర్సనల్ ఫిలాసఫీ యూసింగ్ ఎనీ స్మృతి శాస్త్రాస్, ఇట్స్ ఇంపాసిబుల్ because it's quite direct in its language. So therefore Prabhupada is writing here, because modern medical science agrees with the descriptions in Markandeya Puran, therefore you can establish that these are very authentic shastras, unlike what the Mayavadis claim. So Prabhupada, you know, utility is the principle. You can utilize modern science also to establish the pramana of Puranas. Of course, we accept the authority of Puranas because our acharyas have mentioned. But if the modern science agrees, then we may use modern science. But we don't agree that the Puranas are proper pramanas because modern science agrees. But if modern science agrees, we may use it to prove it to others. If it does not agree, then we don't talk about it. Like that. But whether modern science agrees or not, you know, our pramana is not modern science. Our pramana is what our acharyas have established. Later Prabhupada writes, we can understand from the Vedic literature how much care is taken to beget a nice child in society. The garbhadana ceremony before sexual intercourse was compulsory for persons in the higher grades of society, and it is very scientific. Other processes recommended in the Vedic literatures during pregnancy are also very important. To take care of the child is the primary duty of the parents, because if such care is taken, society will be filled with good population to maintain the peace and prosperity of the society, country and human race. Further, krimibhikshata sarvanga saukumaryat pratikshanam morchamapnotyurukleshas tatratyayishuditair muhuhu. Saukumaryat, because the embryo is very very soft. Kshata sarvanga, all its limbs become injured. Kshuditaihi krimibihi, by hungry worms. They start biting on that embryo. Tatrate, which is situated there. Pratikshanam, at all times they are biting the embryo. Urukleshaha, under great pain, murcham apnoti muhuhu. The embryo, again and again, you know, it becomes unconscious because of the unbearable pain caused due to the biting of the insects within the womb. So, Prabhupada writes here in the purport, miserable life begins from the moment the living entity begins to contact his material body. Unfortunately, we forget this experience and do not take the miseries of birth very seriously. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is specifically mentioned that one should be very alert to understand the specific difficulties of birth and death. Where is it mentioned? 13.8 to 12. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. It is considered as one of the elements of knowledge. But despite such miserable conditions, due to the spell of Maya, we forget everything and become enamored by the present so-called happiness, which is described as actually no more than a counteraction to distress. So, we don't take these things very seriously. Further, katu tikshnoshna lavana rukshaam lade birulbanaihi matrabuktair upasprishta sarvangottita vedanah. Sarva anga uttita vedana, all the limbs further suffer matrubuktair upasprishta, with whatever the mother eats, it comes in touch with the embryo. Katu, sometimes she eats something too bitter, or tikshna, too pungent, ushna, too hot, lavana, too salty, ruksha, too dry, amladibir, and or too sour, and anything that is extreme when it comes in touch with the because the skin has not properly developed. Like sometimes when we have some bruise, and if some salt or some very hot pungent thing touches it, it's extremely, it burns and it's very painful. So imagine the whole embryo, which has, you know, no skin properly formed, you know, it constantly undergoes this kind of pain. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, all descriptions of the child's bodily situation in the womb of the mother are beyond our conception. It is very difficult to remain in such a position, but still the child has to remain. Because his consciousness is not very developed, the child can tolerate it. Otherwise, he would die. That is the benediction of Maya, who endows a suffering body with the qualifications for tolerating such terrible tortures. So it's basically, it's not that the body cannot tolerate. So it's the mind. Suffering is in the mind. So I remember, you know, what to speak of being completely put inside the womb. I remember once, quite early, when I was probably the age of Damodar, who roams around here. So I was once playing with my cousin brother, elder cousin brother, and you know, he locked me inside a cupboard. It's quite big cupboard and it had some holes. It's not that I was suffocating. So he locked me inside a cupboard, and I really felt so claustrophobic, you know, felt really suffocated. And within a few minutes, you know, I really felt I'm going to die. You know, I was just banging the door of that cupboard again and again. But for, you can imagine, this was not that bad actually. It was not like, I still could little bit move my hands and feet. That's how I could bang the door. And I really felt I was going to die. And I would have probably died if he had not opened the door next 15-20 minutes or so, because of my mind. But the situation of the living entity within the embryo is much more worser than that. But because the consciousness of that living entity is in a very, very covered state, the living entity does not actually, like, for example, someone who has taken alcohol, heavily tamasic. So he can lie in the gutter and actually think that he is situated well. Whereas someone who is normal after that whole, effect of intoxication is removed, after he comes down, when he still sees himself lying on the gutter, he can't tolerate even for a moment. So the child's consciousness is heavily covered. So that's how within the womb it's able to tolerate. Otherwise the mind would create such a hell that, it's very difficult to live like that. Prana is there. Some provision is made. So that's what Prabhupada is writing, that all these descriptions of the child's bodily situation in the womb of the mother are beyond our conception. It is very difficult to remain in such a position, but still the child has to remain. Because his consciousness is not very developed, the child can tolerate it. So the more one is in ignorance, the more one can tolerate. Sometimes, that doesn't mean that to develop tolerance one needs to. That's a different kind of tolerance. Indifference, not exactly tolerance. Like, I remember, trees is one. And even within human beings, sometimes, like I remember first time His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj had come to, we were in the United States, we had like a small center in our university, and Chandramouli Maharaj had come. And if any one of you had the opportunity to serve Maharaj, it's quite, his standards of cleanliness is very, very strict and high. So he had come to our house, and Maharaj was, so we gave him a room, so he was staying there. And next day he said, okay, we need to clean up, this standard is unacceptable. So we had done a maha cleaning before he actually moved in. So we could not really understand which room he was talking about. So you are wondering, we put him in the right room only. No, what is he talking about? And then we went inside, and 3-4 of us, he was showing, don't you see? I mean, none of us could see only. Again and again he was showing. So still, for next 1 or 2 hours, we cleaned it up, and then we went to our university. And then the next whole day, till we came back in the evening, Maharaj was cleaning the room. Still it was, he could see something that we could not see at all. So when we came back, he said, the whole day I was cleaning your room, like that. So, someone who is like more and more in the mode of goodness, the level of sensitivity to, unclean surroundings becomes more. But we could not, we were so covered up, we couldn't. He was really telling us, don't you see? And we really could not see anything actually. So then, ulbenas samvritas tasmin antaraischa bahir avrita aste kritva shirakukshau bhugna prishta shirodaraha. The fetus remains there surrounded by a covering, ulbena samvrita, and outside that by the entrails. So outside that is the entrails, means the intestines. Kritva shirakukshau bhugna prishta shirodara. Its head is near its stomach, and with bent neck and back. The photo is given in Bhagavatam. You can see completely in a very crouched situation, like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, if a grown man were put into such a condition as the child within the abdomen, completely entangled in all respects, it would be impossible for him to live even for a few seconds. Unfortunately, we forget all these sufferings and try to be happy in this life, not caring for the liberation of the soul from the entanglement of birth and death. It is an unfortunate civilization in which these matters are not plainly discussed to make people understand the precarious condition of material existence. अकल्पस्वांगचेष्टायां शकुंत इव पंजरे तत्र लब्धस्मृतिर्दैवात् कर्म जन्म शतोद्भवं स्मरण दीर्घम अनुच्छ्वासं शर्म किं नाम विन्दते। स्वांगचेष्टायां अकल्पः, स्व अंगचेष्टायां अकल्पः, ही इज नॉट एबल टू मूव हिज लिम्स। शकुंत इव पंजरे, ही इज जस्ट लाइक अ बर्ड एनकेज्ड इन अ केज। तत्र लब्ध स्मृतिर दैवात, देयर द एम्ब्रियो रिमेंबर्स बाय द इन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ प्रीवियस कर्मस। हियर आल्सो सम लिविंग एंटिटीज आर गिवन दैट रिमेंबरेंस, नॉट ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज। कर्म जन्म शतोद्भवम, व्हाट ही डिड इन हिज लास्ट 100 लाइफ टाइम्स बिकॉज ऑफ विच ही इज पुट इन टू दिस पर्टिकुलर एम्ब्रियो। स्मरण दीर्घम अनुच्छ्वासम, हियरिंग दिस द एम्ब्रियो गिव्स अ वेरी साई, ही साइज मीन्स इन ग्रेट डिसअपॉइंटमेंट। शर्म किम नाम विंदते, सो इज थिंकिंग एब्सोल्यूटली नो स्कोप फॉर एनी एंजॉयमेंट नाउ बिकॉज यस heard the list of things that he has done in his last 100 lifetimes. After hearing that, he feels so disappointed, you know, should I really get out of the embryo or not? Like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, after birth the child may forget about the difficulties of his past lives, but when we are grown up, we can at least understand the grievous tortures undergone at birth and death by reading the authorized scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a much more gentlemanly way of reminding, and this is what Krishna does. Because he doesn't want to scare us, you know, like anything. You know, if the real videos of CCTV footages of our suffering in hell are shown, or of our suffering within the womb is shown, you know, it becomes very traumatic actually. So rather the scriptures give a general description. So when you read of someone else's suffering, you know, it's not so unpalatable and traumatic. You can always hear about someone else's experience of going through some accident or something, but if you think of your own traumatic experiences, you know, more than reforming us, it creates a sense of very mental, you can say, agony. It's very difficult to overcome. One who does not take heed of these indications of sufferings in human existence is said to be undoubtedly committing suicide. It is said that this human form of life is the only means for crossing over the nescience of Maya or material existence. We have a very efficient boat in this human form of body, and there is a very expert captain, the spiritual master. The scriptural injunctions are like favorable winds. If we do not cross over the ocean of nescience of material existence in spite of all these facilities, then certainly we are all intentionally committing suicide. So Prabhupada is exactly quoting the translation of a particular verse. Anyone knows? Nridehamadyam sulabam sudurlabam ప్లవం సుకల్పం గురుకర్ణధారం మయానుకూలేన నభస్వతేరితం పుమాన్ భవబ్ధిం న తరేత్ స ఆత్మహ. సో నృదేహం దస్ హ్యూమన్ బాడీ విచ్ క్యాన్ అవార్డ్ ఆల్ బెనిఫిట్ ఇన్ లైఫ్ ఆద్యం ఇస్ ఆటోమేటికలీ అప్టైన్డ్ బై ద లాస్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ సులభం. వన్ నీడ్ నాట్ డూ ఎనీథింగ్ స్పెషల్ టు గెట్ ద హ్యూమన్ బాడీ ఆటోమేటికలీ వెన్ వన్ పాసెస్ త్రూ ది సైకిల్ ఆఫ్ యునో ట్రాన్స్మైగ్రేషన్ త్రూ వేరియస్ స్పీషీస్ ఆటోమేటికలీ వన్ గెట్స్ ద హ్యూమన్ బాడీ. సుదుర్లభం బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ రేర్ ఈవెన్ దో ఇట్స్ ఆటోమేటికలీ రిసీవ్డ్ బట్ స్టిల్ ఇట్స్ వెరీ రేర్. ప్లవం సుకల్పం, సుకల్పం మీన్స్ ఇట్స్ వెరీ పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ క్రాఫ్టెడ్ బోట్ ప్లవం బోట్. గురు కర్ణధారం అండ్ ది క్యాప్టెన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ బోట్ ఇస్ ది గురు హూ గైడ్స్. అండ్ మయా అనుకూలేన నభస్వత ఈరితం అండ్ నాట్ యునో ఎ బోట్ ఇస్ నీడెడ్ ఎ క్యాప్టెన్ ఇస్ నీడెడ్ బట్ యు ఆల్సో నీడ్ ఫేవరబుల్ విండ్స్ సో దట్ యునో ది బోట్ క్యాన్ గో ఇన్ ది రైట్ డైరెక్షన్ స్మూత్లీ. సో ద ఫేవరబుల్ winds are the instructions of the scriptures. Mayanukulena nabasvateritam puman bhavabdim nataret sa atmaha. That person, in spite of having all these facilities, one who does not want to cross over this ocean of material existence, is a killer of his own soul. 11th canto verse.
Like only fortunate soul got to remember their 100th lives, as you mentioned. Yeah. So just for the pure devotees also has to go through this all, the suffering as normal child has to go through?
We are going to see that. So, next he says, Arabhyas saptaman masal labda bodopi vepitaha. నైకత్రాస్తే సుతివాతైర్ విష్టాబోరివ సోదరః. ఆరభ్య సప్తమాన్ మాసాత్ వెన్ ది అట్ ద బిగినింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద సెవెంత్ మంత్ లబ్ధ బోధః హీ అటైన్స్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. సూతివాతైర్ వేపితః, సూతివాత ఇస్ ది కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఎయిర్ దట్ హెల్ప్స్ ఇన్ birth of the child. Suti vatair vepitah, he is moved around by the suti vata. Vishta boriva sodara, just like a worm which is born in the same womb. Sa udara means born from the same womb, like a twin brother. So sa udara literally means brother, born of the same womb. Sa udara na ekatra aste, he cannot remain in one place because the suti vata keeps moving him left right like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the worms have been described here as sodara. Sodara means born of the same mother. Sa udara. Since the child is born from the womb of the mother and the worms are also born of fermentation within the womb of the same mother, under the circumstances the child and the worms are actually brothers. We are very anxious to establish universal brotherhood among human beings, but we should take into consideration that even the worms are our brothers. What to speak of other living entities? Therefore, we should be concerned about all living entities. Like that. Next, he writes, Natamana Rishirbita Saptavadrikritanjalihi Stuvita Tamviklavaya Vachayenodarerpitaha. Rishihi. Rishihi means, so we are going to see here the prayers offered by a jiva. Srila Vishnu Jagadagur mentions, Not all jivas within the womb offer prayers to the Lord. Only devotee jivas offer. It's not that all devotee jivas also offer. One particular devotee jiva offered that has been recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how he explains it. So he says, Rishihi means the wise devotee jiva, Natamana Bitaha. Natamana means pleading. Bitaha means frightened. So now that he is seeing himself within the womb, so he is frightened and he is pleading to the Supreme Lord. Saptavadri, being bound up by the seven dhatus. Kritanjali, with folded hands. Stuvita, he offers prayers. Viklavaya vacha, with distressed words he is offering prayers. To whom? Yena udare arpita. He is offering prayers to that person who has placed him in this place, within the womb. So here, Srila Vishnu Jagadagur mentions, he asks for blessings, like I should get the Lord's mercy. So he's praying for the Lord's blessings. He who sees the Atma, that is Rishihi, but bound up by the seven dhatus, is frightened because of repeated birth, he should pray with distressed words. Stuvita. Stuvita means one should do. It's in potential case. But Srila Vishnu Jagadagur writes, potential case is used, but it is impossible that it can mean that all jivas must pray in this manner, since giving orders to embryos is not possible. So now that you are an embryo, fold your hands and start praying. You know, you cannot. So therefore it's, even though it is mentioned in the form of a potential case, but it does not really have that kind of a meaning. It is used because of the relation of cause and effect. Naturally, when one has bhakti within his heart, then it manifests in the form of a prayer. So what is inside should come out, we say. So it's not like we are ordering someone. So what is inside should come out means that the cause and effect are so closely connected that it naturally comes out. So that's why sometimes potential case is used even though it's not really an instruction, like in this case. So that's why this is a special jiva. So the question is, in last purport, Prabhupada mentioned that the jiva is, his consciousness is heavily covered. So how could such a jiva offer prayers? So this is not an ordinary jiva who is offering prayers. Not all jivas can offer. That's why it's clarified. You know, we'll read, Srila Vishnu Jagadagur very clearly mentions that only a very highly elevated soul once offered such prayers within the womb. That's what is being mentioned. Thus the person who should worship the Lord should pray in the womb. This means that other persons who do not worship the Lord would not pray in the womb. So only a devotee jiva has offered these prayers. The jivas who do not praise the Lord will later be described in the scripture and have also been previously described. So he gives some proof to show that not all jivas offer prayers. He quotes from the Narada Puran. He says, Akamad api ye Vishnu sakrit pujam prakurvate na tesham bhava bandastu kadachit api jayate. Those who worship Vishnu once without material desire are not subject to bondage and no longer take birth. And also Lord Ram offers this Sakrdeva prapanno yas tavasmi iti chayachate abayam sarvada tasmai dadamyetad vratam mama. With respect to the Vibhishan approaching Lord Ram for Sharanagati, he says that, you know, even if once someone says I am yours, then I give full protection to that person. Like that. Therefore, the prayers of the jiva in the womb mentioned here do not indicate that every jiva bound up in the material world prays in this manner, since that would contradict these statements, that anyone who has surrendered, he never has to take birth again. So, you know, or he has to undergo the sufferings of, you know, having to take birth like that. As well, the text does not say, so basically what Srila Vishnu Jagat Thakur is explaining is to, he is making all these arguments to establish that, you know, there are two different discussions going on here. The discussion describing the suffering of the living entity within the womb talks about a non-devotee jiva, and the prayers mentioned are about a very elevated devotee jiva who does not undergo these kind of sufferings within the womb. So this is in essence what Srila Vishnu Jagat Thakur is trying to explain through this elaborate purport that he is writing, that he is giving various proofs to establish that the jiva who is offering these prayers, it's a different jiva, and the experience of the frightening experience of the living entity within the womb that is described, it's a different jiva who is not a devotee. That's what is being described here. As well, the text does not say the jiva at 10 months lying in the urine and stool, fainting because of great pain and bent over, praises the Lord. Okay. So basically, he's telling the text does not say that very same jiva who has been described as being completely suffering within the womb, that very same jiva offers prayers. That's not how the verse explains. Therefore, Srila Vishnu Jagat Thakur concludes that it's a different jiva. Like that. And also he says that the present tense is not used. Jantur uvacha indicates past tense. This indicates that a jiva who was a devotee prayed in this manner in the womb in the past. Not every jiva does so. Those skilled in derivation of meanings of words also declare this. Meaning, Srila Vishnu Jagat Thakur says that other people who are also similarly skilled in understanding the meanings of words, they will also come to the same conclusion. Which means, this is the conclusion of other acharyas also. That's what he is indicating here. After stating that, in the ninth month, the limbs are all formed and the jiva says, I am again born and again die. Garbhopanishad then says, Avan mukaha pidyamano jantus chaivam samanvitaha Sankhyam yogam samabhyasyet purusham panchavimshakam tatascha dashame masi prajayata. So Garbhopanishad is probably something which describes in more detail the science of embryology according to Vedic understanding. That is my guess. I don't know what exactly it talks about. The suffering embryo facing forward, endowed with Sankhya yoga, should worship the 25th person, the Supreme Lord. In the 10th month he is born. So this is what the Garbhopanishad says. So commenting on this, Srila Vishnu Jagat Thakur says, the word va in the Upanishad indicates that some karmi jivas remember their previous lives, some jnani jivas practice Sankhya yoga, some yogi jivas practice yoga. Yoga not literally means asanas, but you know, some limbs of yoga. And that devotees should worship the item superior to the 24 items, that is the Supreme Lord. So which means, depending on whatever samskaras they have, you know, spiritual samskaras they have received, accordingly, their inclination is seen even within the womb. That's what it indicates. Even within the womb, some of the jivas, according to their samskaras they have received in the form of either practice of Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, they show such inclinations. That's what this Upanishad indicates. Okay. It is logical to conclude that what was previously practiced will appear in the womb. Like that. So, that's what is indicated here. And Srila Prabhupada also writes here in the purport. It is said that when a woman is having labor pains, she promises that she will never again become pregnant and suffer from such a severely painful condition. Similarly, when one is undergoing some surgical operation, he promises that he will never again act in such a way as to become diseased and have to undergo medical surgery. Or when one falls into danger, he promises that he will never again make the same mistake. Similarly, the living entity, when put into a hellish condition of life, prays to the Lord that he will never again commit sinful activities and have to be put into the womb for repeated birth and death. So Prabhupada says that it's natural that when one is put into a very excruciating condition because of one's own misdeeds, while undergoing that excruciating condition, it is natural that someone would say that, oh, next time I will never do it again. So this is the explanation Prabhupada is giving. Why is the living entity offering such prayers? So Prabhupada says it's natural. Just like a woman undergoing labor pains, you know, while delivering the child, she promises that I'll never again become pregnant because it's so excruciating. So like that. So therefore Prabhupada says it's natural for a living entity to offer such prayers like that. In the hellish condition within the womb, the living entity is very much afraid of being born again. But when he is out of the womb, when he is in full life and good health, he forgets everything and commits again and again the same sins for which he was put into this, into that horrible condition of existence. Like that. So now, he is going to offer prayers, the living entity, this particular Jiva, who was a devotee. So he is offering these prayers. So let's try to read.
Janturuvacha tasyopasannamavitum jagadichayata nanatanorbhuvichalacharanaravindam soham vrajami sharanam hyakuto bayamme yene drishi gatiradarsha satonurupa.
So he says, soham vrajami sharanam saha, that person, aham sharanam vrajami, I surrender unto that person who akuto bayam, that person who bestows fearlessness. So I surrender unto that person. Then he says, who is that person who bestows fearlessness? He says, Bhuvichalat Charanaravindam. So that person would move his feet on earth. Sri Vishnu Jagadagur says that this is indicating the appearance of Krishna in future. That's why it is in future tense. Bhuvichalat Charanaravindam. Ichchaya atta nana tanoho. So that person, ichchaya atta, by his own sweet will, he accepts nana tanoho, many kinds of bodies. For what purpose? Avitum, in order to protect. Tasya upasannam, in order to protect those who have surrendered unto him. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. So again, another thing that indicates that, you know, he is talking about Krishna is that Krishna is the avatari and rest all the incarnations are his avataras. So therefore it is mentioned that ichchaya atta nana tanoho, he accepts by his free will, he accepts these various bodies. So indicates that he is the avatari. Krishna is the avatari. Otherwise, he would say that he is one of the avataras who descends in that way. So that is what is indicated here. So this Lord, by his will, he accepts various forms to protect his devotees. Tasya upasannam. Yena, and by your mercy, O Lord, may asataha, a sinful person like me, adarshi, I have attained idrishi anurupa gati. So the child says that, my dear Lord, only because of your mercy, I have attained this position, which is anurupa, which perfectly befits my sinful life that I have lived in my previous lives. So therefore, he is not accusing the Lord for putting him. He says that you have put me in this place. But he says it is anurupa. You have not unjustly put me in this place. I deserve it. Like that. That's what he says. So basically I'll go over the translation once more. So the child says that soham vrajami sharanam, I surrender unto that personality who bestows fearlessness, akuto bayam. And who is that personality? Oh, he will move around on earth in future. And this person, he will, by his free will, he will accept various bodies. Nana tanoho ichchaya ata, by his own free will. That indicates Krishna. Yadyad diyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattad vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Sadanugrahaya, where is it indicated in this verse? Tasya upasannam avitum, in order to protect those people who have surrendered unto him. So that is what is sadanugrahaya or paritranaya sadunam. That's what it means. Yena, and my dear Lord, only by your mercy have I attained this place within the womb of my mother, which is very inconvenient, but I deserve it. Anurupa. Idrishi anurupa gatir adarshi. I have received this appropriate situation within the womb of my mother because of my own misdeeds, but you have orchestrated this whole thing. That's what he is telling. I surrender to you, my Lord, like that. So, Shri Vishnacharya Gadakur, quoting Sridhar Swami, says, Sridhar Swami says, that Chalat Charanaravindam is in reference to Krishna's appearance on earth, which would be in future. Krishna accepts many forms. According to Jiva Goswami, Kapiladev says this in expectation of Krishna's appearance in the future. That person who actually accepts these various bodies, the original avatari, he will appear in the future. That's what is indicated in this verse. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport. Another significant point in this verse is that the Lord comes by his own will. Ichchaya, by his own will. As Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. I appear by my own will, by my internal potential power. Unlike the living entities of this world who are forced to appear according to their own karma, the Lord chooses to appear by his own free will. He is not forced to come by the laws of material nature. It is stated here, Ichchaya. He does not assume any form as the impersonalists think, because he comes at his own will and the form in which he descends is his eternal form. So even though the word Atta is indicated, Atta means he accepts. So as soon as we hear accepts, we immediately think what? He accepted at some point of time. But it's not like that. So he accepted here does not mean at some point of time he accepted. It is eternal. These forms are eternal. As in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vakritir Hladini Shakti Rasmad Ekatmana Vapibhuvipura Deha Bedam Gatautau Chaitanyakyam Prakata Maduna Tadvayam Chaikyam Aptum Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. So he says that Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Kladini Shakti Rasmat. He says that the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna are transformation of the Hladini Shakti. They are not transformation of material energy. Hladini Shakti Vikaraha. Then he says, Ekatma now. They are actually Ekatma only. But Deha Bedam Gatav. But they have separated themselves into two forms. So what would be our question naturally? When did that happen? So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's response is Pura, eternally. He says, when did this happen? Eternally. And then he says, Chaitanyakyam prakatamaduna tadvayam cha aikyamaptam. And they both have come together in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When did that happen? Adun Pura. Eternally. So, you know, these are things which, you know, we are so conditioned to think in terms of, you know, time that it's very difficult to understand. So therefore, Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that one of the first things that one needs to understand. So he says that, what is that verse? 10.3, 10.2 or 10.3, he says, can someone find out 10.2 or 10.3? What is the next? Yomam ajam anadim cha veti loka maheshwaram asam modas samartyeshu sarva papair pramuchyate. So he says that one who understands that yomam ajam, that I am unborn and anadim, because I am eternal, therefore I am unborn, and cha, the acharyas explain, cha indicates but I am still born as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. One who understands and accepts both, veti loka maheshwaram, and also who accepts that I am that same personality who is serving Arjuna as the chariot driver is the same personality who is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So one who understands this is Martyeshu Asammudaha. He is the one who is unbewildered amongst human beings. Sarva Papaya Pramuchyate. And he becomes free of all the sinful impressions which act as an obstacle to his practice of devotional service. So, commenting on this, the acharyas explain that intelligent person is he who accepts both, that the Lord is simultaneously born and unborn. Karmanyanihasya bhavo abhavasyate durgashraya ati aribayat palayanam kalatmano yat pramada yutashrama Swatman Rate Kidyati Dir Vidamiha, he says. That one who understands, one who accepts both these features of Krishna. As yesterday we saw Mother Kunti said, oh, you are the same person, you are being afraid of Mother Yashoda is true. And you know, you are that same personality who is whom fear personified is afraid of, that is also true. How do you resolve? A pure devotee says, I cannot resolve. Same thing Uddhava also tells to Maitreya. He says that, what is the starting of that verse? The Bhagavatam verse. Swatman Rate Kidyati Dir. Karmani Anihasya. So, bhavo abhavasyate. So, when the scriptures say that the Lord has no activities, anihasya, so he accepts it. Yeah, that is true. the scriptures are true. But when he performs pastimes, does the pure devotee say that, oh, this is false? He says, no. Oh, the pastime is also true. Karmanyanihasya. Bhavo abhavasyate. Is the Lord unborn? Oh, yes, the Shastras say he is unborn, right? So, does he really take birth then as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki? A devotee says, yes, he takes birth. So, one may say, how is it logically true? So, the devotee says, you know, it may not fit my logic, but I agree that there are certain things which are beyond my logic. So, Krishna says in the beginning of this chapter that one of the first things to understand me is to understand that I am not completely understandable. There are certain things which are achintya. There are certain things which are, when one progresses in the devotional path, they become understandable to the living entity. But there are certain things which the living entity can never understand at all. They are eternally achintya for a living entity. Like for example, these contradictory qualities. They are eventually, they are eternally achintya for the living entity. He can never understand. He can never reconcile how the Lord can be simultaneously unborn and still take birth. How he can simultaneously be afraid of Mother Yashoda and still be the same personality who is feared by fear personified. And Uddhava says that Kidyati Dhir Vidamiha. Such contradictions are completely bewilders, or it's unresolvable for even intelligent people, he says. And Vishwanathacharya Thakur commenting on this, he says that if a person is not bewildered by this, if he thinks he can resolve these contradictions, then he is not intelligent. He says, real devotee means he accepts both propositions, that the Lord is unborn and he takes birth. He has no activities. He performs pastimes. How do you resolve? The devotee says, I don't know. So he accepts there are certain things about the Supreme Lord which is inconceivable. And he is not bothered about it. He doesn't say that till I conceive it, I have to somehow resolve it. It's not like that. So devotees are more concerned about glorifying the Supreme Lord to the extent they have understood the Supreme Lord. What is that? Yatadhitam, yatamati. Or yatamati, yatashrutam. Like that. So that's what is indicated here. So therefore, here he says that it is stated here that Ichchaya, he does not assume any form as the impersonalist thing, because he comes at his own will and the form in which he descends is his eternal form. As the Supreme Lord puts the living entity into the condition of horrible existence, he can also deliver them, and therefore one should seek shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. That's what he says. Soham vrajami sharanam hi akuto bayam me. Therefore I surrender unto the lotus feet of this personality. Like that. Then he continues.
Yastvatra baddha iva karma biravratatma bhutendriyashayamayim avalambya mayam aste vishuddham avikaram akandabodham atapyamana hridaye vasitam namami.
So he says, namami yaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to that person. Avrita Atma Iva. When he appears in the form of a human being, he also appears like a conditioned soul only. Avrita Atma Iva. Iva means like, but he is not avritatma, but he appears like an avritatma, baddha karma bir. It seems like he is also bound by his karma. Avalambya mayam, and it seems like just like any other living entity, he is also taking shelter of the maya potency. And what is the nature of maya potency? Bhuta indriya ashaya mayim, consisting of the material elements, senses and mind. Even though he is in touch with maya, aste vishuddham, he says, that person who just looks like an avritatma, but aste vishuddham, but he remains pure and avikaram, unchanging, akhanda bodham, with indestructible knowledge. Atapyamana hridaye vasitam. And he says that, and I am perceiving that Lord within my heart, which is distressed. Here distressed means repentant. In my distressed heart, like that. Otherwise, mere distress is not a qualification to see the Supreme Lord. But here it more indicates a kind of devotional repentance. That's what it means. Atapyamana hridaye vasitam namami, like that. So I'll repeat the translation. So here Kapiladev is quoting the prayer offered by the devotee Jiva. He says, I offer my respects to he who looks like a coward soul. As Krishna says, avajananti mam muda manushim tanumashritam. So when I appear like a in this two-handed form, just like a human being, people think that I am also any other ordinary human being, like that. And it seems like I am also bound by karma, baddha karma bir, avalambya mayam. It seems like I am also taking shelter of the maya potency for my own appearance, having material bhuta, indriya, ashaya, having material elements, senses and mind. But the jiva says, but aste vishuddham, but the Lord is definitely, he remains pure, unchanging, and his knowledge is always akhanda bodham. He has indestructible knowledge. Even though Krishna, when he is performing his childhood pastimes, you know, there are descriptions of in the 10th canto, 5th, 6th chapters, you know, when childish pastimes of Krishna are described, you know, it is mentioned that in the Goshala of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna is crawling, running after, you know, they hear the jingling sound of the ankle bells of the gopis. So they go behind the gopis, and at some point they realize that it is not their mothers. Then they are so scared, then they turn back and run to the laps of their mothers. So that's something which perfectly befits any child. So the question is, at this point of time, is Krishna's knowledge covered? The answer is no. Then we would say, oh, if it is no, then Krishna must be acting. That is also no. How can they simultaneously coexist? I don't know. That's what a devotee says. So he says, Atapyamana hridaye vasitam namami. So that's what he says. So even though it seems like he is also covered by a natural, by a normal material body, but still he is aste vishuddham avikaram akanda bodham. So Krishna also grows from balya to pauganda to kaishora and so on. So there is some transformation is seen, but still he is avikaram. So these are like contradictory qualities which coexist in Krishna, and which by constitution are Achintya to any living entity. Because later Arjuna himself says that Swayam Atmatmanatmanam Vetatvam Purushottama Bhuta Bhavana Bhutesha Deva Deva Jagatpate Swayam Evatmanatmanam Vetatvam Purushottama. So Arjuna says in that 10th chapter that it may be inconceivable for me to understand these apparent contradictions, but he says that, my dear Lord, for you it is not inconceivable. So it's, is there anything that is inconceivable for the Supreme Lord? No. So he says that Swayam Eva Atmana Atmanam Veta. He says that you alone understand, you know, how these two can coexist. Like that. Swayam Eva, only you and no other living entity can actually resolve this. Like that. So, devotional repentance means, you know, for living a life which is not in line, or for performing activities which are not in line with pure devotional sentiments. Or even repenting, you know, living such a life before taking up to Krishna consciousness. Like that. So Srila Vishnu Jagadish Thakur comments here, the jiva remembers with astonishment the merciful pastimes of the Lord. He exists within every suffering jiva. Why? We do not know if he does this to protect us or to perform his own pastimes. One such prayer comes in the Garbhastuti also, when Krishna is within the womb, in the 10th canto. So now here the child is within the womb offering prayers. So child is within the womb offering prayers to the Lord outside the womb. In the 10th canto, there is a similar prayer where child is with Krishna is within the womb and people are standing outside and offering prayers to Krishna within the womb. Garbhastuti prayers. This is also Garbhastuti only. But, you know, just before coming here, you know, I was giving the 10th canto Garbhastuti prayers to the devotees there in Jeevi. So now a different kind of Garbhastuti. Stuti offered from within the garbha. So here he says that we do not know if he does this to protect us or to perform his own pastimes. Yeah, one of the prayers offered by the demigods unto Krishna within the womb of Mother Devaki is that they say that the scriptures say that you appear to destroy the bhara of this earth. Jayatu jayatu prithvi bharanasho mukunda. So, but he says that, but that cannot be true, because just by your energy you destroy unlimited material universes. So if you can destroy unlimited material universes just by your energy, why do you have to specifically come to kill one or two individual personalities? So they say that, so therefore it can't be true that the real reason for your descent is to remove the burden of earth. The real reason must be that you want to enjoy the bliss of your internal potency. You are like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned, what is that? Premarasa niryasa ka karite aswadan, raga marga bhakti loke karite pracharan. So that is mentioned as the real reason for the descent of Krishna. Premarasa niryasa karite aswadan, that he wants to relish the love expressed by his devotees. So that is the real reason for the descent of Krishna. So that's what is mentioned here. So here it is indicated that, do you descend to protect us or do you descend to perform your own pastimes? It's not very clear. It very much seems like you come to experience the bliss of your own pastimes. It is befitting that a sinful person as I is staying in this distressful womb. But why is he staying as Antaryami in such a hellish place? For me, in the previous verse only, he says that Idrishim Anurupagatim. You have put me at the right place, Krishna. That's what he says. For my own sinful activities, I deserve to be here. Now in this, he says that as Antaryami, you also accompany. So the question is it Idrishi Gati for, is it Anurupa Gati for Krishna also? I am here because I deserve to be here. You are here, which means you must also be deserving to be here within the womb of the mother. So he says that he exists there as if bound by karma. I am bound by karma, but Krishna exists there as Antaryami, as if, only as if bound by karma. He is not actually bound. Because he is Vishuddham Avikaram Akanda Bodham. I am still able to exist in that womb because my consciousness is heavily covered, as Prabhupada writes. That's why I am able to exist in such a distressful situation as the mother's womb. But how is Krishna able to exist there? Is his consciousness also covered? So he says, no. Akanda Bodham. He is Vishuddham, Avikaram and Akanda Bodham. Even though he may exist in the womb of the same mother, being in touch with matter, but he is Vishuddham. He is not affected by coming in touch with matter like that. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in this verse it is said, Vishuddham, Avikaram, Akanda Bodham. The super soul is always sitting apart from all contamination. The living entity is contaminated and suffering because he has a material body. But that does not mean that because the Lord is also within him, he also has a material body. So, what is Prabhupada talking about? In this verse, what part of this verse is Prabhupada commenting on here? Avritatma iva. Even though he appears within the same body, he only looks like he is covered. He is avikaram, changeless. He is always the same supreme. But unfortunately, the Mayavadi philosophers, because of their impure hearts, cannot understand that the supreme soul, the super soul, is different from the individual soul. It is said here, Atapyamana Hridaye Avasitam. He is in the heart of every living entity, but he can be realized only by a soul who is repentant. That's what is indicated here. Atapyamana Hridaye Avasitam. Like that. The individual soul becomes repentant that he forgot his constitutional position, wanted to become one with the Supreme Soul and tried his best to lord it over material nature. He has been baffled and therefore he is repentant. At that time, the Super Soul or the relationship between the Super Soul and the individual soul is realized. So, when one becomes repentant or when one wants to give up the old ways and take up to Krishna consciousness, then Krishna manifests within his heart. Like that. So this is the second prayer offered by the soul, by the jiva within the womb, Srila Prabhupada ki.